self-control. You better check. Yeah. I'm talking about the fruit of the spirit. Joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, tenderness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Self-control. Better check. Check.
This is KAYT, Gina, Alexandria. This is Gospel Radio at its very best. 88.1. KAYT, praising the Lord.
Greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You've just tuned in to the media ministry of New Zion Missionary Baptist Church of Winfield, Louisiana, pastored by Reverend Tramiel Ham. The Lord says in His Word that in 2 Timothy, preach the Word, be instant, in season and out of season. Listen now as our pastor preaches and teaches an in-season Word.
The book of 1 Samuel, chapter number 22, there's a word the Lord laid on our heart to share with you today, and hopefully meet you where you are in your walk with God. 1 Samuel chapter 22. When you find it, say, I got it. If you need more time, say, wait for me. I hear you. I hear you. I hear you. I'll wait. 1 Samuel chapter number 22. All right. And we're going to begin reading at verse number 1 and a few of the following. David therefore departed thence and escaped to the cave of Adullam. And when his brethren and all his father's house heard it, they went down thither to him. And everyone that was in distress, and everyone that was in debt, and everyone that was discontented, gathered themselves unto him, and he became a captain over them. And there were with him about 400 men. And David went thence to Mizpeh of Moab, and he said unto the king of Moab, let my father and my mother, I pray thee, come forth and be with you till I know what God will do for me. And he brought them before the king of Moab, and they dwelt with him all the while that David was in the hold. And the prophet Gad said unto David, abide not in the hold, depart and get thee into the land of Judah. Then David departed and came into the forest of Hereth. Amen. The grass withers, the flowers fade thereof, but the word of our God shall stand forever. You may be seated in the presence of the Most High God. For the time that is ours together today, beloved, I want to share with you from this thought, I just need some me time. I just need some me time. Beloved, there is something in this walk with God that no matter what situation or circumstance you're in, there are going to come some periods and moments and pivotal moments in your life where there's nobody but you and God. Life has a way of distracting us. Life has a way of conflicting us. And we can be walking for the Lord and even forget about the Lord. We can get caught up doing so many good things and good deeds on God's behalf that we'll miss out and forget about the blessings it is to just be used by God no matter what. Life is not always easy. Life brings about some trials and tribulations, some ups and some downs. And every now and then, God will ordain for us some opportunities for some me time. Because it's in that me time that you'll find what you need. In that me time, you'll let God minister to you. While you're so busy, while you got things going on, sometimes you won't allow God to talk to you. And God will ordain some struggles. God will set up some setbacks that maybe we'll be in the posture to hear from Him and then be a better version of ourselves for Him than we were before. An echocardiogram is this system designed to test our heart rate, to see what is how it's beating, see how many heartbeats we'll get in a minute, how well our heart is functioning. And in order to know that your heart is functioning, you'll see if you look at the actual scale, you'll see it go up and down, up and down. Sometimes it goes up at different levels. Sometimes it goes lower. Sometimes it goes higher. It comes down and goes back up. But what I want you to see about that is if it was going straight, then you wouldn't be living. Because the sign of a straight line suggests that your heart is not beating. But because you got some ups and downs on your reading, it's a sign of life. Come here. God wants you to see today, beloved, that just because you got some ups and downs, you just living. If everything was going straight, you would not be living. If everything was going straight, you wouldn't be fit for the kingdom. If everything was going straight, you couldn't walk in power. So God will allow some ups and some downs. So you and I can understand how nobody can do you like God. That he'll be a very present help in your time of trouble. That he will keep you in perfect peace. If you keep your mind stayed on him, you wouldn't know if you didn't have some ups and downs that no weapon formed against you will be able to prosper. Therefore, the weapons got to prosper. The lies got to be told. The setup has to come about so you can learn that God will protect you and keep you even when folks try to kill your name, try to kill your character. Every now and then, God will allow you and I to get sick. So you'll know that I am the Lord and I will heal you. So sometimes you got to handle when life goes ups and downs. So you'll learn I once was young, and I'm old, but I've never seen the righteous who are forsaken, nor a seed begging for bread. You've got to allow every now and then for your life to go up and down because it shows you that you're living. And I want you to do me a favor before I say anything else. Can you just thank God for life? Your life is not perfect. It may not be everything you want it to be, but you ought to give God praise today for the very fact that he is keeping you in spite of what's going on. Does anybody have in spite of praise? Y'all, every eye ain't dotted, every T is not crossed, but in spite of that, I will give God the glory. David says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. And beloved, I don't want you to miss out on your me time. It's in me time you go meet God like you never have before. Our text today in chapter 22 of 1 Samuel, we find this anointed but not yet appointed king named David. David, my friends, has been anointed in chapter 16 of 1 Samuel. He has been the anointed king of Israel. He is God's choice, but he is not people's choice. People's choice is Saul. And because of some things that took place in chapter 18 and 19 and 20, Saul is upset now with David. Saul has been fired by God, but he's still employed by people. He is still in office, but he does not have the power. And because God had Samuel lay hands and pour oil on David in chapter 16, he is God's choice. And he has been confident. After he got anointed, he went right back to living life. He did not go to the castle immediately after being anointed. I'm going to try it again. He did not go to where God said he's going to be immediately after he was anointed, because there still needs to be a season of me time that David had to deal with before God could place him where he wanted to place him. If you can't handle you, you can't handle them. And so God will allow you and I to go through some life circumstances to see how much you can handle. It's not that God is trying to destroy you. God's word to you today is, I'm trying to develop you because I see your future. I want to take you higher. I want to give you things greater. But if you can't handle this, you won't be able to handle that. So God will ordain some struggles and some heartbreaks and some adversity only to make you better. And today, before you get mad at God, before you judge God, before you condemn God, I dare somebody to bless God, because God is getting you ready to take you to a place you've never been before. It's not about my right now. I'm preparing for my not yet. David finds himself, the more he serves Saul, the more trouble he gets into. The Bible teaches us that Saul starts eyeing David when he loses the acclaim and the praise and the applause of some people, more notably some women. You already prepared, huh? Okay. Because of certain people who have applauded David to more than Saul was used to, he began to eye David. He began to be envious and jealous of David. And so his eyes and his heart are set on killing David, because he feels like if I can kill David, they'll go back to serving me. I like this, y'all. You know why? Because people tend to take it out on you, but don't understand it's God doing it in you. Yeah.
and they never have a problem to take anything to God, but they feel like if I kill you, now I get it back. But if God was done with you, it don't matter who you kill, because God is done with you. So instead of trying to apologize to God and get yourself right with God, you try to kill and assassinate and get rid of people you got a problem with. But the real thing you ought to do is say, Father, I stretch. Father, forgive me. Father, get me back in store. Don't look at them. Don't deal with them. Lord, help me. But Saul is so self-conscious. Saul is he's so insecure that he does not know how to handle his own emotions. And so he now makes up his plan to kill David. So at the time of our text, we find David on the run. And David is running from Saul. Now, I thought my introduction told you that David was anointed. I thought I told you that God had already chosen David to be his next king. And since David is anointed, and since he is appointed, and since the oil is over his life, you would think he wouldn't have problems. You would think he wouldn't have struggles. I just try to tell y'all, if he's been anointed by God, if God got his hand on him, if God is covering him, if God has called him, you would think he wouldn't have trouble. But according to our text, y'all, the more anointed you are, prepare for more attacks. I'm going to try it again. The more anointed you walk in, the anointing you walk in will bring about some attacks you got to deal with. People can't stand you not because of you, but because of what God is doing in you. Saul, David honored Saul, loved Saul. But Saul stopped loving David and began to attack him and tried to kill him and tried to get rid of him, even to use his own son, Jonathan, who David had grown a great friendship with. Bible tells us now that in chapter 21, he's gone hanging around Ahimelech, and he began to eat bread that wasn't supposed to eat. He even got around Achish, the Philistine king, and he was playing crazy just to survive. David, watch this, y'all, attacks. Be careful. Y'all listening? Be careful about letting adversity cause you to act out of character. I'm going to try it again. Chapter 21 says that David ate bread he wasn't supposed to, disobeyed God. And then and later on, going to Achish, the Philistine king, in order to survive and maintain, he played crazy. Somebody in this room today is so frustrated, so worn out with being attacked and people coming against you, that you question, your test is, I'm going to act like them. Am I going to get out of my character just because something's not going my way? And God says, you're anointed. I've called you. Don't get crazy just because I called you. As we move forward, chapter 22, God says, now, David, because I see you in this situation, I see you struggling. I see you on the run. I see you dealing with fear. I see you going through this circumstance. I'm going to ordain and appoint you some me time. Because if I don't give you some me time, you will go further away from my will. God will ordain some me time, troubles, just to get us straight. What kind of God will love us enough? Not to remove the enemy, not to remove the weapon, not to remove the obstacle, but change how we handle the obstacle. It's amazing, y'all, because David, if you read David's story from chapter 16, there's a record of him killing bears and lions. He kills animals. He's not afraid of animals, but he's afraid of Saul. God has always shown him how to conquer wild animals, but he's struggling how to handle people who are dear to his heart. What do you do when you ain't afraid of stuff, but you're afraid of them? Because you don't know what's next that they go try to do to you. Because just because I love you don't mean you love me. And how do you handle loving folks who can't stand you? It'll mess with your head. To know that God is saying love, but all they want to do is bring you hate. It'll mess your head up when God says go right, but everything on your right says you better get back left because everybody on the right trying to take you out. And he's conflicted. He's on the run. He's afraid. And he goes to this cave called Adullam. It leads us to this point of the me time. David don't know he's running from Saul, but he's actually running into safety. I'm going to try it again. He's running from Saul, but he's actually running into safety. He's running from adversity, but he's running into advancement. It's because God has already ordained a doula. Now, y'all don't like this, but the first part of the me time is going to be a time of rescue. It's a time of rescue. Wait a minute, Ham, how is it rescue and he's still on the run? How is it rescue and Saul is still after him? How is it rescue but he still got trouble? Well, I'm glad you asked. The text says he went to the cave Adullam. Y'all missed it. Y'all missed it looking for it. Here it is. Can I show it to you? He went into a cave in a cave area. Okay. All right. Let me come over here. He goes into a cave region, but he didn't go to just some cave. He went to the one God ordained for him. Because the name Adullam means refuge. Y'all missed it. It means protection. It means covering. He didn't just go to some ordinary cave. He went to a particular cave where God was going to work in his life in the midst of all the caves. He said he had David on the run to go into Adullam. It's a time of rescue because who knows what was in the other caves? Who knows what kind of animal or scavenger was in the other cave? But God had David run to the empty cave because the empty cave is where God is going to work some stuff out for David with some me time. Now, a cave, you know, is dark. It's dismal. It don't smell too good. It's isolated. It makes you feel lonely. But what if I were to tell somebody today? You're not going to receive it, but I'm going to tell you because I love you. That the worst time of your life is getting ready to become the best time of your life. You can't fold up your tent now. You can't give up on prayer now. You can't put your Bible down now because the worst time of your life is getting ready to transition into the best time of your life. Don't you dare give up now. Don't you dare stop praying now. Don't you dare stop doing right now because God is getting ready to turn some around in your life. Because God is the only one who can take the worst time of your life and make it the best time of your life. Y'all don't believe this. Y'all got to live this. It's a time of rescue. It's a time of refuge and rescue. He goes to the right cave. And today, y'all, I wish I had some people who can thank God that it could be worse if I wasn't in God's presence. If not for having God directing me and guiding me, I really would have a sob story. But I really see somebody today can't feel pain. Somebody today don't have a house to complain about a bill. Somebody today don't have food on the table to complain about. But God has allowed you and I to suffer, but we're still covered. Anybody thank God for being covered while I deal with it? All my problems are not gone, but I can still thank God that he's covering me. Guess what, y'all? It rained last night, but it didn't rain on you. It rained on your house because God covered you. So it's a time of refuge, time of rescue. But then secondly, it's a time of reconnection. It's a time of reconnection because we are taught by study that while in this cave, David had some time to hear God. He didn't know that God was waiting on him in that cave. Y'all missed your shout. That in that cave, you so busy worrying about Saul, watch me, you forget about God. Y'all don't like to tell the truth on this part here. But the truth of it is, if God didn't stop you, you wouldn't look to him. Sometimes God will ordain some caves in our life and some struggles and some griefs and some heartache and some hardships because if not, you wouldn't stop doing what you're doing. I just got through telling y'all that in chapter 21, David has been acting outside of his character. He's been playing crazy, hanging with the enemy. He's disobeyed the law by eating bread he wasn't supposed to eat. And after he sinned, after he fell short, after he acted out of his character, God said, you better get in the cave somewhere. Come on, I know y'all don't like to tell the truth this, because there are some seasons, I don't care how holy you are, I don't care how anointed you are, you don't always think the right thing, you don't always say the right thing, and you definitely don't always do the right thing. And sometimes God will put a cave in your life to stop you from doing more danger to yourself. I wish I had somebody who can thank God for being a God who knows how to correct me, who will challenge me, who will keep me from making worse decisions. Because the problem is sometimes I'll take my mind off of God and put it on my problem. I have my mind on my money, but not have God on my mind. I have mind on people and take my mind off God and thank God for a cave that got me back straight. Because I'm supposed to lift up my eyes unto the hills, knowing where my help comes from. My help comes from the Lord, not people. And somebody ought to thank God today that that cave stopped you. That cave got you back straight. It changed your perspective. It put you back in God's presence, because sometimes we got so busy, we got so active, we got so anointed that we stopped looking to God. Yeah, I'm too busy to pray. Too busy to go to church. Too worn out to worship. So God said, I got to send you a cave. Because if I don't get you in that cave, you're going to lose me. I ain't going to lose you, but you're going to lose me. Somebody can tell the truth today. There's been some times in your life, it ain't that God did you bad. You took your eyes off God. You were just like Peter in Matthew 14. He was allowing you to do amazing stuff, but you took your eyes off him when the storms came, and you started looking at the wind, started looking at the water, and you began to sink. But somebody ought to thank God that a cave came around and did not let you drown. I know, it's amazing, isn't it, that all of us can be in this room today and came to church, came to worship, and ain't thought about God yet. Isn't that amazing? I'm so worried about my sermon, so worried about my song, so worried about my position, so worried about my duty, that I forgot to ask God to bless everything I do. I'm so worried about what they gonna say, worried about how they gonna look at me, worried about who got something on, and I forget about the God who gave me another day. But I wish I had three or four people who could help me testify. I'm learning how to take my mind off that stuff that don't matter and get my sights back on God. Hey. Y'all missed this, y'all. Let me show you something. It's a place of reconnection. Because if he didn't isolate him in that cave, God wouldn't have lost him. He'd have lost God. So God put him in the cave to stop him. It's in that cave. Somebody say in. It was in the cave David wrote Psalm 57 and Psalm 142. Y'all missed it. I said it's a time of reconnection. It wasn't out of the cave. It was in the cave where David wrote two psalms of praise. Y'all don't like it. It was in the cave that David wrote two psalms in our biblical canon, Psalm 57 and Psalm 142. And in both of those psalms, it talked about how I started, but how I not go in, because David learned how to progress and how to prove, be fruitful in it. You don't wait till the battle's over. When you're really connected to God, you're going to give him a shout right now. Lord, I don't understand, but I trust you. Lord, I hurt, but I trust you. I can't figure it out, but I trust you. I wish I had somebody. I don't wait till I feel better to give God glory. I've learned how to produce with tears in my eyes. I've learned how to worship God while I'm wounded. I've learned how to praise God in pain. I wish I had somebody in Zion who don't wait till stuff get better to give God the glory. Yeah. You waiting on when I get myself together, I'll come. When I get myself together, I'll do right. I'll get there. But when you really love God and you reconnect to God, you don't need circumstances to be right. Because the truth of it is, some of us love God with our whole heart, and everything ain't right. I don't know when y'all waiting on this magical moment to happen when your life fall in order. Because you will always have some hiccups, some stumbles. And then the good news is, you don't know every lie being told on you. You don't know all your enemies. So you might well produce while you're in it. I like this, y'all. David learned how to reconnect with God in the cave. He didn't wait till the battle was over. He didn't wait till he came out, because he don't know if he gonna come out. And David had to learn how to praise God without details, how to give God what his best even while he's in a bad situation. And I wish I had some folks in Zion, because I feel y'all right now where I stand. Y'all so hurt that you can't give God glory. You got so much on your mind that you can't take your mind off that. You're so mad at somebody, you can't give God a moment. But I dare you, two or three of y'all, to say, Father, I still trust you, even in the midst of this. Let me hurry. It's a place of refuge. It's a time of refuge, me time. Now, this ain't about people laying hands on David. So sometimes you ain't anointed for the position until you learn how to be anointed for the problems. And if you can't handle the problems, you ain't ready for the position. Who am I talking to? So many of us want to be big time, but the higher you go, the more you're going to be seen. If you can't handle one lie, you can't handle 30. If you can't handle one attack, you won't be ready for 15. So you got to learn how to trust God through it. Here it is. It's a time of refuge. It's a time of reconnection. There's a time of reinforcement. Because God sends the right people. Y'all missed it. The Bible says when his brothers and his family heard word that David was in that cave, they went to him. All right, y'all ain't hearing me. When they heard where David was, they went to him, along with other folk who were in debt, who were discouraged, who were discontented, because some of them, because of being connected with David, Saul was after them too. Because of their faith in God, they got in trouble too. Because they believed in David, they got in trouble too. And so they all went on the run and they found David. This is before GPS. This is before setting location on your phone so you'll know where I am. My question to God has always been, Lord, how did them people find David in some dark, isolated cave in the midst of a cave region? Isn't it amazing how God can have the right folks show up to your life? Now, you know what I like about this? Y'all ain't feeling like this, but I'm going to love this. Because David, in chapter 16, especially chapter 7, he was anointed in 16, right? And his brothers were passed over. In chapter 17, his brothers were scared to defeat Goliath, but David was able to defeat Goliath. While his brothers told him, go sit down somewhere, go back home. The same brothers who couldn't stand him in chapter 16 and 17, in chapter 22, they run and trying to get to him. I'm going to try it again. In chapter 16 and 17, his brothers couldn't stand him. He was an afterthought. He was overlooked. But by the time trouble came in their life, they knew who God had blessed, and they knew who God was with, and they started getting in alignment with who God had sent. What am I saying to you? You don't have to go recruit. You don't have to go recruit the right folks in your life. If you stay in God's presence and keep doing things God's way, God will send you the right people to be in your life. I like it. I ain't got to go post my status. I ain't got to tell you how pretty I am and how amazing I am. When God is in the midst, God will give you the right folks who will help you fight battles, who will hold you up, who will love you, flaws and all. Because watch this, y'all. Watch this. They all are coming to David, not in the castle. They come to David in the cave. I ain't making this up. While he's in the cave, 400 people plus family comes to find him, and they get to him in dark. While some folk run away from you in the light. Because some people can't handle when God take you to a castle. So in order to see who can handle your castle, I'm going to let you go through cave. And when you come to castle, don't forget about who held you down when you were in the cave. Don't be fooled by people who love you now, but talked about you then. Don't be fooled by folks who won't hug you now, but then they talked about you then. Because if you can't handle my cave, you can't handle my castle. I'm trying to speak life over somebody. God's word to you today is, you got a castle coming. I thought that'd make you happy. You got a castle coming. But God is showing you the right folks who will come to your life and love you when you ain't got nothing. Who will love you when you messed up. Who will love you when you're going through. Who will love you when you're sick. Who will love you while you're in prison. Who will love you while you're going through storms and still rock with you. I don't need people who only want to rock with me in high moments. I need people who will be with me in the valley when I'm fighting my demons, when I'm fighting my storm, when I'm fighting my addiction, when I'm fighting sin, when I'm fighting my flesh. I need real people. No. I don't need folks. I know people don't mean no harm. I don't need folks telling me, Pastor, I'm with you as long as you're right. If I'm your man of God and God sent you to me, even if I struggle, you'll still pray for me. You'll still be with me. You'll still get by my side. I'm so tired of fair weather friends. Yeah. That's what you're going through. That's why your heart getting broke. I bet you I ain't the only one today. Let's go and take roll real quick. Is there anybody in the house besides the preacher who's losing people lately? Don't play with me now. I'm for real. And you losing people you never thought you lose. Then God sent us the right word today. Because it's not about, can I help all of us? Don't focus on who you're losing. Get ready for who you're gaining. Hey! He's going to send me some prayer support. He's going to send me some help. He's going to send me some real love. He's going to send me some... Hey, y'all, it took a cave not just show you who you are. It took a cave to show you who they're not. Because everybody can't handle the cave you. I better leave this alone. Everybody can't handle the cave part of you. Jesus had 12 disciples. When it came time for tough stuff, I'm going to try it again. Jesus, everybody's Savior, had 12 disciples. When it came time for some tough stuff, the other 9 couldn't handle it. Oh, ham. Some people may have good intentions, but they can't handle your cave. And I don't have time having to pretend with people who's supposed to be supporting me. I shouldn't have to pretend that I'm all right when I'm not. Because see, real people who God has assigned for your life, they are okay when you're not okay. Matter of fact, they are attracted to your adversity. They know it's something going on with you and they come on sight. Just told y'all, Bible said they got word that David was in the cave. And they know David don't belong in no cave. Let's get to him. David didn't come to them. Uh-oh. Somebody's getting healing right now. Because you're wearing yourself out trying to hold on to something God trying to detach from you. Because God know their real character. God know that they've been talking about you while you're in your cave. They have not been loyal while you're in your cave. Watch folks who show up on payday, but leave you on broke day. It's a time of refuge. It's a time of reconnection. It's a time of reinforcement. Because these same 400 men go show up, and the Bible says he was made captain over them. Wait a minute, how you a captain and we ain't in no battle? Because God is working on some stuff right now, preparing you and them for your not yet. Because in 2 Samuel, they're going to be called David's mighty men. Y'all missed it. Right now, they're a bunch of ragtag misfits who are broke, who are heartbroken and afraid. But they are attracted to David because they see the God in him and they see his purpose even when he don't see his purpose. So that's a real friend. That's the real people who, even when you're down, they will pick you up, not keep beating you down. Because they see God's purpose at work in your life. And just because your life don't look kingly, I'm going to still love you because I see what God want to do in your life down the road. And this whole group of ragtag misfits in one more book later are going to be called David's mighty men. Because they learn how to organize in dark places. Oh, who is God talking to today? Because, see, God's getting ready to let some of y'all go higher. And you can't be confused by folks who don't really mean you no good. This is the season you can't have a bad memory. Remember who talked down to you. Remember who ignored you. Remember who didn't pay you no attention. Remember who disrespected you. Remember who disregarded you. Because when you come up, don't run behind me now. Ham is preaching up in this place. You know why this thing got quiet, Mac? Because we got cave members and we got castle members. That's why this thing got quiet. Because some folk shake our hand Sunday and stab us in the back Monday through Saturday. And thank God ain't showed us the difference. But God, that's all right. Laugh at the two or three of us who together. Y'all see us right now, but you don't see God's getting ready to make us a mighty man. Because we've learned the blessing of unity. Because I was there with you in the cave. So I ain't gonna trip with you in the castle. Wait till God do some stuff in this house. Wait till God do something with this ministry. Y'all ain't seen nothing yet what God gonna do with this ministry. Don't try to act like you was on board the whole time. I better leave it alone. I better leave it alone. I better leave it alone. I feel my help here. Woo! And I say to you, as a pastor, it's been heartbreaking lately to see folks I done lost. But I got to trust that God will let me lose now so I can win later. Because God got some mighty people who God has put in our life that's going to take us to the next level because they believe in the God that is in us. You ain't got to keep proving yourself to people who ain't assigned to you no way. And you got the right people in your life, they'll align with you even if they don't agree with you. Because they believe in the God in you. It's time of, sit down, because y'all ain't going to like this. Time of refuge, time of reconnection, time of reinforcement. But then it's also a time of responsibility. Uh-oh. I can't be this blessed. I can't be this anointed. I can't have all this opportunity and then not be responsible. Bible says that he sees his mother and father. He's concerned for their protection because he don't know what lies next. He don't know what's going to happen next. So he goes and starts this meeting with the Moabite king. Now, Moab is a right now enemy. But David uses his family history because his great-grandmother is Ruth. His great-grandmother is Ruth, a Moabitess. So it gives him the right to talk to a Moabite king now because he's connected from. See, that's why you can't disregard mama's prayers and daddy's prayers and big mama's prayers. Because some stuff they prayed is going to bless you in your right now that they prayed back then. And it's going to connect you for your right now and take you to your next dimension. I like it. He talks to him, the Moabite king, and says, "Will you please, sir, look after my mother and my father until I know what God is going to do for me." Notice now, David's starting to get his... He's starting to shake back because he doesn't say, "Watch out for my mama and daddy if the Lord do something for me." He says, "Until I can see what." That's got to be your conversation now. You got to stop wondering if God, and you got to start knowing how God and what God and when God. And start changing your mindset and start expecting God to do something amazing in your life. I don't know what he's going to do next, but I'm open. I don't know when he's going to do it next, but I'm ready. I don't know who he's going to use, but I'm excited. He learns how to be responsible. He does not put people in danger just because they're connected. He said, "Let me look out for my mother and father." See, that's the point nobody shouts off of. Because we want to be anointed but not accountable. You ain't that anointed that you can't be responsible. This time when God gave me some money, you fill in the blanks. Whatever it is you do. Next time I get out of this hospital, next time judge say not guilty, and I know all the evidence points otherwise, I ain't going to keep putting myself in certain situations because God blessed me too much in that cave to get crazy now. Because the cave to me suggests another chance. And can somebody give God praise, not for a second chance, but two or three of y'all like me know God has been giving you and I another chance. Can somebody say, "Lord, thank you for another chance. And this time, I'm going to be more accountable with what God gives me. Let me look after my mother and father." And the king of Moab agrees. It's a time of refuge, a time of reconnection, a time of reinforcement, a time of responsibility. But then lastly, beloved, it's a time of resolve. Because he talks to the prophet Gad. Gad the prophet talks to him. Now y'all missed something. Because while I was talking about responsibility, y'all missed something. Y'all ain't said nothing. Y'all ain't saying nothing to me. And I thought y'all was going to see it, then say something. Because in order to talk to the Moabite king, and then have Gad talk to me, I got to be out the cave. I'm gonna try it again. I done messed around, and the cave ain't my problem. I'm out of the cave. But the goal is get that cave. I'm gonna try it again. If God has prospered you to get out, now your next step is getting that out of you. Otherwise, you'll be triggered and traumatized and be in it while you're out of it. And all you can remember is what went wrong in your life. When somebody talks to you, "Yeah, but I remember last time." Uh-oh. Somebody says, that's a nice shirt. See, last man said that, did that to me. No, everybody ain't gonna do that. And some of us, we are out, but we're not free. Some of us are still in the cave of what happened to us, and we have not thanked God that he brought us out of it. Come here, children of Israel. God brought them out in Exodus 13 and 14. But they kept going in Exodus, every time one thing happened they didn't appreciate, we should have just stayed where we were. Because I can bring you out of Egypt, but don't mean that Egypt is necessarily. You out of that relationship, but you can't get into a new one because the relationship struggles are still in you. And you'll bleed on people who didn't cut you. So, he says, have the resolve. Gad come to talk to David. He says, David, don't stay there in that hold because Saul has already got his eyes on that hold. You need to go somewhere else to Hereth, which is which means thicket, which means covering. That if you go where God's word tells you to go, he'll cover you till he take you to the castle. But if, see, now that, this is what y'all ain't gonna like. Somewhere in this text, y'all, you see God speaking and you hear David obeying the word. God ain't gonna keep blessing us and we keep disregarding his word. So you can sing and feel real good. You can pray and be all emotional. But if you don't get that word in you and let that word guide you, you're gonna fall right back into the same cave because you ain't got no word to keep you from a cave. So David says, I've got the resolve now to go to Hereth. I made up my mind, I'm going to go to Hereth, and I'm going to see what God has in store. But I ran to the cave running from purpose, come out the cave running towards purpose. All right. And then he says, go to Hereth, which is in Judah. Now, y'all want to shout off Judah meaning praise. Not today. We can. Hope you will praise at some point. But Judah is more than just a praise place. It's his purpose place. Because he comes from the line of Judah. And so if David don't go to his place in the line of Judah, a few generations down the road, there's another king who got to come through the line of Judah. So I know y'all don't get this part here. Because this ain't the last time a king goes in a dark place and then comes out with the victory. Down the road, there's another king who goes into a dark place called a grave. He went in dying for sin, came out raised up for saints. Went in dying, got up living with all power in his hand. But if David don't do his part, God can't do his part. And that's God's word to somebody today. God's already got stuff ready for you, but you got to come out and go where he said go so your blessing can come about. One more thing to tell you. Y'all didn't ask this question, so I'm going to give you the answer because you didn't ask the question. Because nobody asked me all this time I've been talking. Nobody's asked me how long did David stay in that cave? Can I tell y'all how long David stayed in that cave? Can I tell y'all? Commentators suggest, studies suggest that David, I'm about to shout out my shoes, stayed in the cave for 9 months. David stayed in a dark cave for 9 months. Now, y'all know what typically happens in a 9 month period. That after a 9 month period, you sisters ought to help me shout on this. Because after 9 months, you give birth, you give some life. There's a future when you give birth after a season. Sooner or later, It turns in your favor, and God works it out for your good. Can somebody give God praise? Something I'm getting ready to give birth to. I'm getting ready to get purpose. Power's coming. Future's coming. Prosperity's coming. Love is coming. Elevation's coming. Ministry is coming. Yeah! Give God praise. Hey, watch this. Watch this. Let me help you again if I can. Hey, sisters, you don't just give birth, but it hurt. It hurts in the meantime. But you can handle the temporary pain. You get to live with a permanent blessing. Is there anybody here who say it can hurt me now, but it'll bless me later? It'll trouble me now, but I have treasure later. Say yeah. Yeah. Give God a praise. Thank God for some me time to get me back straight. Thank God for me time to get me back in line. Thank God for me time to renew my purpose. Thank God for me time to give me back my praise. Thank God for me time to give me back relationship. Thank God for me time that set me back on fire. That's it, I'm done. All for Jesus. All for Jesus. We all for Christ. We all for Christ. My brother, my sister, all for Jesus to you, who's loved you to this point to bring about some me time for you. Your word today is God's not mad at you. Are y'all listening to me? God is not mad at you. God is making you. Now watch this. I want to encourage you today, because this word that was deposited, we all are going to be responsible for. Listen. Are y'all hearing me? You've got to be able to handle temporary hurt to bring about permanent blessing. You got some Bible to help you handle when the enemy attacks. But you have no Bible, no weapon, no protection when God wants to develop you. And I want to say something to you that you may not ever hear preachers say, but I know what the Bible teaches. Because the Bible teaches that many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord will deliver him, not from them all, out of them all. But you got to understand something, y'all. Sometimes it's not the enemy, it's God. God will hurt you to help you. Nobody wants to hear that. But God will hurt you now so he can help you later. Don't let the cave make you think God forgot about you. Don't let your cave make you think God is getting rid of you. I dare you to seek him in the cave. And somebody's in a cave moment right now. Your next move determines how it's going to go. I recommend Jesus today to help you handle a cave that God ordained. Because you can't charge God foolishly. You can't be mad at God, didn't work for God. And I gotta tell you one more thing you might not want to hear. There are some things you will never understand what God does. And he's not required to tell you every detail about your deliverance and your development. This is where trust got to come in. He didn't have to get my permission. Because I gave him my heart, gave him my life, I let him be my Lord. If I let him be my Lord, I've learned to trust him with my whole heart and lean not to my own understanding. In all my ways, I got to acknowledge him. And guess what he promised me? He will direct. So I got to handle moments when it don't feel good and not bail out on God because it don't feel good. I got to know how to trust him even when I can't trace him. So I invite you to real relationship in your cave. Come reconnect with the Lord today. Who are you? Where are you, my brother, my sister? This is your cave moment. And God will send you the right people. He'll send you the right help. He'll send you the right assistance. But you got to get you and God back straight today. Come to him. You may come for salvation. You never met him. Don't know him. Or if you are saved and you left him, you want to reconnect. Reaffirm that profession. Come to him today. Or if you just need prayer in your cave moment, won't you come? Don't be ashamed. Don't be afraid. Every anointed person got to have a cave moment. All of us do. Just because we're in church don't mean we don't have caves. Are you here? Won't you come? Are you here? Won't you come? Are there others today? God bless you. Are there others? Are there others? Are there others today? Are there others? Sooner. Sooner or later. Let's go turn. Or the other set. It's turning around for me. Come on, tell somebody, it won't always.
It won't always be.
Do you believe that? Do you really believe it? Say, the Lord will.
The Lord will.
He'll perfect that concerning me. Now tell them, say, sooner or later.
Sooner or later.
It's going to turn.
It's going to turn in my face.
Say it again. Say, sooner or later.
Sooner or later.
It's going to turn.
It's going to turn in
my face. Do you believe it? Sing it like you believe it. Say, sooner or later.
Sooner or later. It's going to turn in my favor.
It's turning around. Minister to yourself or somebody and say, it won't always.
It won't always be like this.
Somebody need to hear that. Say that again. It won't always be like this. Come on, tell yourself, minister.
It won't always be like
this. I know it hurts right now, but it won't stay this way. Say, it won't always.
It won't.
It will get better. You will go higher. You will come out.
Like this.
One more time. Say, it won't always.
It won't always be like this.
Somebody say, the Lord will perfect that.
The Lord will perfect that.
Concerning me. Somebody say, sooner or later.
Sooner or later.
It's going to turn.
It's going to turn in my favor.
Sooner or later.
Sooner or later.
It's going to turn.
Gonna turn in my favor.
Somebody say, sooner or later.
Sooner or later.
It's gonna turn.
It's gonna turn in my favor.
One more time. Sooner or later.
Sooner or later.
It's gonna turn.
Turn in my favor.
It's turning around.
It's turning around.
Would you stand where you are? Would you stand where you are? Those who are able. Favor. Just put your mind on your God. Think of his place in your life. If God is not first, put him there now in your mind. If God is not preeminent, place him there in your life. Look how much stuff you had to move out the way for God to be first. Look who had to move out the way for God to be first. That cave is to reaffirm some stuff, to realign you. Because typically we allow people and problems and circumstances to take our eyes off the ball. The cave will bring you focus. The cave was meant to shift your focus shift